Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone. This is another edition of the Gregory Crawford on Sports Business Show. We do this show every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Pacific time. And you're going to have to bear with me tonight because I have a terrible voice. And I didn't think I'd catch a cold this season. And I did in April, which is shocking. Never get a cold in April. I apologize for that. Need to take better care of myself. You can follow me on Twitter, Gregory Crawford, at WC Hoops. But since it is the April, and it is the first Tuesday of April, that means we always get the pleasure of listening to the outstanding men's basketball coach at Puget Sound, Justin Lutz, who is a great interview, and we have him on every first Tuesday of the month. Good evening, Justin. How are you?
Good, Greg. Good evening to you. You sounds like you got a cold.
Yes, I do. And that's very unusual for me to get a... Justin, can you believe this? This is a factual, true story. My mother, who was raised in Raymond, Washington, a place that you know, probably have been there, maybe have watched a game there, never had a cold in her life. And
wow.
Never. And unbelievable. Unbelievable. But
wow.
I get about one a year, and I thought I was going to escape this year, but I made it. But more importantly, how would, now you've had a chance to sit back for a month or so, and you had a great playoff run to get to, a run to get to the playoffs, how would you assess your 15-16 season with the Loggers?
You know, it's actually, that's a great question. We actually did a review on a recap of our year on our webpage. You know, there was a few questions that were asked, you know, about the season and thoughts on the season. And, you know, when you're in the middle of it, it's really, really hard to reflect. I mean, you're in constant go mode, which means, you know, you're thinking about the next, you know, next game, next opponent. You know, this year I was on the regional committee for the West region and got an opportunity to head out to, over to Walla Walla and Spokane for the and be the NCAA site rep. So right when our season was over, you know, I was right back on the road and, you know, it was over and watched a great game with Whitman and Chapman and saw Whitman, you know, beat Chapman and then, you know, went over to Spokane to watch, you know, the Whitworth-Whitman game for an opportunity to go to Sweet 16 and what a great college basketball game that was. And so, you know, was fully engaged, Whitman ended up beating Whitworth, you know, was fully engaged with our NCAA tournament, you know, and then that got over and St. Thomas ended up winning the national championship and great run for them. We actually are excited because we get an opportunity to play. St. Thomas will be coming out to our gym next year, so we get an opportunity to play them. But once our national tournament got over with, it was like kind of like a big, not sigh of relief, but like just a break. You know, and I think we got a good opportunity to just kind of think about our season. And, you know, it was very proud of our guys. I mean, I think that, you know, obviously, we made a lot of adjustments offensively and defensively. We had pretty much a brand new starting five, a lot of new guys, and I thought our guys did a real nice job. So, reflecting back on our year, I mean, obviously, you know, we lost some tough ones, and you know, we didn't. You know, we always have a mind frame of winning every game, and you know, being there in the end, you know, playing for a championship, and we didn't achieve that goal, but, you know, looking back on it, I was really proud of our guys and, you know, how well they stuck together. And you know, I mean, we accomplished a lot with a lot of new pieces. So very proud of our guys.
Very good. Very good analysis and assessment of your 15-16 team. You mentioned about St. Thomas coming out and playing you. Are you all set with your preseason schedule for next year? And a question to follow up with that is, what do you like to accomplish in the preseason? Justin. I mean, obviously, got to build momentum. Do you like a lot of wins? Everybody does. That's kind of a dumb question, but you know what I mean.
Right.
How do you look at preseason?
You know, this year it was so going back to being part of the regional committee. You know, we had a real tough schedule. You know, we our strength of schedule, you know, was one of the higher ones in the West region. You know, we got an opportunity to play, you know, University of Chicago, Texas Lutheran, number one Augustana, you know, at the time. And, you know, obviously our conference was really tough. So if I could go back to 2014, 2015 and work on the schedule for this year, I probably would have made it a little bit less, you know, or less rigorous with the team, you know, we had coming in. But, you know, I honestly thought it was a great, a great tough schedule for us. So going off our schedule from last year and evaluating it for this upcoming year, you know, I mean, I think obviously, you know, we have 9 non-conference games. You know, we're only allowed to play 25 and we have 16 conference games. So the biggest thing, that, you know, I've taken, you know, that I've taken away is it's important to schedule Division III opponents. I mean, you want to do everything you can to try to get, you know, as many as you can. You know, and last year we were able to get, I think it was five or six, you know, preseason, it was 6 non-conference, you know, D3 games. And, you know, we kind of went in this upcoming season with the same idea of, you know, trying to get as many D3 games as possible. It's hard to come across, though. You know, I mean, obviously we have the SCIAC, which is, you know, down in California. But, you know, getting other teams, you know, out here on the West Coast is a tough thing. I know, talking with a lot of coaches in our conference, Willamette, you know, Whitworth, Lewis and Clark, always trying to work with, you know, coaches in our conference to try to, you know, get guys out and what kind of packages we can put together, for teams coming out. But, you know, we're one game away from completing our schedule. Still working on that right now, but you know, we've got a total of 6 D3 games on our schedule right now. So we're very happy with that. If we could pick up one more, that'd be great. If not, you know, we'll play, you know, try to play an NAIA school, you know, in the Great Northwest. But you know, I think as far as, you know, toughness of schedule, you know, we return, you know, from our last game of the year, we return our starting 5. So, you know, we've got experience and, you know, I think that, you know, having a tough schedule would be great for us, and challenge us. And I think it did wonders for us, this year, as far as, you know, when we hit conference and being ready to play against, you know, our great conference and the great competition in our conference. So, you know, working on the schedule for this year, that was kind of our idea. Let's get as many D3 games as we can, and let's make it as competitive as possible, you know, so we can see, you know, what we're about early on. And if we've got to make adjustments or change, you know, anything offensively, defensively, you know, we've played against good teams that'll help us evaluate that.
Justin, do you personally set goals for yourself? You know, you don't have to share them, but
no.
Do you do that? Do you set your own personal goals? And I know every team probably sets goals or things like that, but do you do that? Do you set goals maybe like years in advance? Do you do any of that type of stuff?
No, I mean, you know, as far as goals go, I mean, I think that, you know, we're, you know, one of our core values of our program is continuous improvement. So, and the whole idea behind that is having a conscious mindset of always trying to improve in everything you do. You know, I think that, you know, when we meet with recruits, when we meet with newcomers, you know, we talk about continuous improvement, and, you know, the first thing that they think of is basketball. One, because I'm a basketball coach, and usually they're being recruited to play basketball. Two, but, you know, the whole idea, you know, behind that core value is not just basketball, but everything you're doing in your life. Just to have that mind frame of always trying to improve. And I think that, I think that goes right into with your goals question. I mean, I think we're always trying to figure out, things to improve on. As far as, goals, obviously we want to, play each game, take one game at a time, and, we want to do everything we can to, put ourselves in a position to play in our conference playoffs. And then, so that means finishing in the top four, and then do everything we can to try to get an opportunity, to get to the national tournament, whether that's, by winning our conference or, by, taking care of business in our non-conference season to see if, we can try to get an at-large bid, which, Whitman did this past season. So I would say that's like, personal coach goals, also with our, team goals. Now, I think as far as myself as a coach, I'm always, always trying to get better. So, try to focus on, staying educated, picking up, going to clinics, speaking at coaching clinics, but also taking the time to sit and listen to coaches, trying to meet with coaches in our area. I mean, obviously the Northwest has got great college coaches, everything from Pac-12 to, Division II, Division III, NAIA, so always trying to get out and, visit with coaches and pick their brains, and then also just leadership development, always, reading, and try to focus on reading a certain amount of books every summer, and just try to, stay developing and learning as a coach. So, I think that's kind of, where our goals go, or my goals go personally, as a coach. Not really specifically, we want to win 22 games this year, or, we want to make it to Elite Eight. Obviously, we're always thinking those things, but, having that idea of continuous improvement, I think's, where my goals really focus on year in and year out.
Let's talk a little bit about the Puget Sound campus. And I got to get one Linfield comment in here, Justin, so you can laugh now. But when I was going to Linfield just about 10 years ago, in the late 60s, early 70s, one of the real charms of basketball there, and I'm probably understating this, probably 75% of the professors on campus would attend the basketball games. How much of your job in is getting out maybe this time of year, meeting professors, talking with them, meeting other students that aren't basketball players, just making yourself visible on the campus?
Very important. It's going back, thinking about goals. I mean, a personal goal is to try to get out and walk campus, 2 to 3 times a week. Obviously we have, last week we had recruits on campus, pretty much all week. Next week we'll have recruits on campus. So you're walking around with the recruits, you're taking them to classes, you're interacting with, non-athletes, student body at Puget Sound, you're interacting with professors, you're interacting with, staff, both faculty and staff. So, but I think it's important, to be seen, to walk around and say hi and that's my personality anyways. It's hard for me to just stay, in my office all day and not get out and go, walk around campus. So it is important. I think it's, there's a lot of that that's, In this time of the year, I would say it's more, but, even during the season, we try to do the best we can to stay with that 2 to 3 times a week as far as walking around campus. But, obviously with recruits on campus, it's more, it happens a lot more and it's more doable. But, I think that, our guys do such a great job of being involved with so many other things on campus too. I mean, everything from, SAC to FCA to, different clubs to, so I think that their interaction, with the non athletes, you know, at Puget Sound is what brings fans around and what, you know, what keeps people involved with Puget Sound basketball. So, but going back to your question, I think it's very important. And it's something that we try to do the best we can to be as involved as possible.
Justin, let me change gears here just a little bit for a second. Yesterday I was all over social media blasting the Naismith Hall of Fame for once again overlooking Coach Danny Miles at Oregon Tech.
I saw that.
All I
got to
say
yeah.
about him is the one thing I'll say about him is what 10, 30-win seasons, and you brought up in both the NAIA Division II and in the Division III, the NCAA, they don't play as many games, so that's phenomenal right there. But have you had much experience with Coach Miles or any? And
you know what?
Talk about that if you have.
Well, one, he's legend. I mean, he's amazing. I've only spoken with him on the phone, you know, scheduling stuff a couple times, and then, you know, within, you know, recruiting and, but just he's a great leader. I mean, the vibe that you get right away, very humble, you know, just a great man, you know, and, you know, one of the inside jokes was, you know, that with recruiting, it's, you know, he's got, you know, he's been at, you know, OIT for so long that, you know, a lot of his players, he doesn't have to recruit because he's got a lot of his players whose kids are playing for him. Or that was one of the, you know, things going around, you know, which kind of made me chuckle. But, when I saw you tweet that on social media, you know, I mean, I agree. I mean, you know, he's a Hall of Fame coach. You know, I mean, 10, 30, you know, win seasons. Is he won three national championships? Four?
Three national championships, Justin. And second, 1,041 wins. That's second in all of college basketball, all levels.
Yep. No, he and you know what? He's going to get in. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, disappointed that he didn't get in this year, but I mean, he's that good, that, you know, he will get in, you know, in one of these days. But just a great man and you know, we're losing, and I don't mean, you know, passing away, but we're losing, you know, a great coach in our area. You know, and, you know, I mean, he's probably happy to, you know, to walk away, and he's walked away on his own terms, and that's great. But, you know, just a great coach and a great man, you know, and he's a legend.
Outside of probably talking to your wife, when you've got to solve something with basketball, and I hope your wife is listening tonight and
she's
giving me a big thumbs up. You've got to solve something with basketball, and I should add, outside your assistant coaches, who do you make your first call to?
You know, I've got about five people on speed dial, and I think it all just kind of depends on, you know, what the issue's got to be. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, if it's an X and O thing, you know, whether, you know, it's defensive, you know, you know, philosophy or defensive changes, you know, man-to-man, you know, two of the best, actually three of the best is, you know, Coach Kelly from Curtis High School, Coach Howell, TCC coach, and then, you know, Coach Kerr from O'Day. You know, if it's something about junking up defenses, you know, showing different zone looks, you know, former assistant coach, Coach McIntosh, and then former coach I work for in the at Fife High School, Coach Schobert, are, you know, great guys to talk about that. Offensively, you know, Coach Roffler from Lower Columbia is one of the best, and, you know, he's always got great stuff to work on. And, you know, we or to implement, you know, Coach Looney, you know, from SP is a good friend, and, you know, he really helped us out a couple years ago as far as, you know, making some adjustments with you know, some of our schemes offensively. But, you know, there's really not one person that comes to mind as far as I think it all really has to depend on, you know, what the topic is, what the subject is, you know, but, you know, there's a lot of real good friends, you know, who have been very helpful as far as shaping and molding, you know, both, you know, program, culture, philosophy, you know, and I forget about, you know, Coach Hansen, who's our former women's soccer coach. I mean, anything that has to do with, you know, team meetings to team building to culture to philosophy, you know, he's one of the best guys that I've been around, and he's been, you know, a big mentor that way. So, you know, there's a few guys that I really think it all just comes down to what that topic is and, you know, what we need to work on. And, you know, the other thing is this is like, you know, for instance, Coach Bennett, you know, Virginia, when he was at Washington State, you know, we were thinking about, you know, changing some things up defensively, and, you know, I'll just pick the phone up and just call, you know, and, you know, Coach Bennett's, you know, a great man, and, you know, got right back to me, and we talked on the phone, and, you know, through, you know, meeting or seeing each other on the road with recruiting, you know, picked his brain about, you know, a lot of his pack line stuff, and, you know, so I think that's the other thing is just, you know, if there's something that someone's doing really well, like for instance, with how well Villanova was running their offensive stuff, four out one end stuff. I mean, hey, you know, that might be a phone call I do this summer. You know, as far as picking up Coach Wright or picking up the phone and calling, you know, Coach Wright over at Villanova and seeing, you know what they do over there. So, but you know, the 5 to 6 names I mentioned earlier, those are really the go-to guys as far as, you know, who I talk to consistently about, you know, things that will help us improve in all aspects of our program.
Very good. My final question for you tonight is, and I know you'll like this question, you've been highly successful at Puget Sound, and I'm sure you're comfortable as you can, as any basketball coach can be. So when you're recruiting, Justin, do you recruit to your system, or will you take a player that might not fit into your system but that you think is going to be highly successful as a player?
I think that recruiting to a system, I mean, I think obviously, you know, every coach has got a mind frame on what they want to do, you know, both, you know, schematically, offensively and defensively, you know, what they want to run, you know, but sometimes, you know, at our level, it's, you know, in any level, I shouldn't just say our level, but, you know, you've got to be willing and able to adjust. And it's very, very important. I mean, you know, we want to play a certain way, but if, you know, we don't have the guys that fit that way, then, you know, we got to be willing to make adjustments. I think the biggest thing with recruiting is, you know, not necessarily what they can do, you know, on the floor, but the character of the player. I mean, and that's, I think, the biggest thing that we look for, you know, and then, I mean, you know, you got, you know, if we're a team that can really, you know, get up and down and play fast, and there's a big kid who might be more of a half court defensive and offensive player, and he's really, really good, and we can, you know, get a player like that, you know, we're gonna do everything we can to get that player, you know, and we'll adjust accordingly. You know, I think I was listening to Jerry Sloan speak at a clinic, this was a few years ago, and, you know, he just talked about system basketball, and he says, you know, it's never going to be perfect. So, you know, if you're trying to, you know, if you're trying to play strictly by a system, that's where you're going to get beat. You got to be able to adjust. You know, he was telling stories about, you know, Stockton and Malone, and when he had those guys, and, you know, obviously they left, and, you know, he had a few injuries, you know, this last couple of years in the NBA, and, you know, he wasn't a flex guy, but it was what was best for his team, and he was running, you know, parts of flex offense, you know, so I think, you know, being able to adapt is important. You know, we're going to try to recruit the best student athletes. You know, we look at, like I said, you know, what's in between the years, you know, before that before, you know, skills and, you know, and athletic ability, because I think that places like, you know, Puget Sound and other schools in our conference, but, you know, we're going to be adaptable. And if we play it a certain way this year and we get a lot of guys that play differently, but they're really, really talented and really good, then, you know, we're going to adjust. You know, I think the things we just don't adjust on are, you know, our the culture of our program, you know, our core values, you know, what we're about. But, you know, as far as, you know, systems and being adaptable on the X and O side, I think that we're extremely adaptable, you know, and we'll evaluate what we have and, you know, go from there.
Terrific job tonight, per usual. We'll talk to you again the first Tuesday in May.
Yeah, and Greg, I just want to give one, you know, quick shout out to UPS legendary coach Don Zeck, who just passed away a couple weeks ago, and just, you know, he was the greatest coach to ever coach Puget Sound, legendary coach, you know, and he's greatly missed. And you know, he did a lot for the University of Puget Sound and basketball Puget Sound. I mean, he was the first one to bring in, or the first head coach to bring in the NCAA national championship in the state of Washington. And, you know, he's greatly missed. So, you know, just want to give a shout out and thoughts and prayers with Coach Zeck and his family.
Absolutely. Very well said. That we would have been remiss. I would have been for not getting that in tonight. Justin, terrific job per usual. Have a great month, and May will be here before we know it. We'll talk to you then.
All right, take care, Greg. Get better.
You betcha. Thank you. That's Justin Lunt, the head men's basketball coach at Puget Sound, a great university in Tacoma, Washington, a member of the Northwest Conference. Good night, everyone, and don't forget to make your free throws. And we'll be back next week at our usual time, 10 p.m.